didn't say what day it is. I have to say the date. Today is the 18th of Tammuz. It's the 26th of June. And we are approximately in Perek Gimel, Pasuk right around Vav Zion. So he ate that Boaz ate and made a bracha and everything was fine. And we looked at the Targum. And in fact, last time we saw that the Targum specifically referenced the fact that he was happy that the famine had ended, the Rav had ended. And in fact, he was eating mine masika. He was eating some sweet things, which he had not eaten during the whole time of the famine. A question arises in that issue is, what bracha was he making when he said, Vayitav Libo? It talked about the particular bracha that he made, and it sounds like he's making the bracha in the Yalkut, it says, he's making the bracha Hatova Meitiv. Not the bracha Hatova Meitiv, but the reference in the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which mentions Hatova Meitiv.
Which is a little difficult, because the Gemara says that they were coming, sucking that bracha after
exactly.
Exactly.
It was in Yavne. And if the bracha, which we call the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon, was resolved to be included in Yavne following that event, how was it that he was making this bracha now? How was it that he knew to make that bracha? There's a Gemara in Brachos, Nun Daurim and Aleph, which tells us that the bracha hatov v'hametiv, not the fourth bracha of the Birkas HaMazon, needs to be made on various things, and one of the things is al besoros tovos. Is this besora tova? Well, it is in a way, because he is recognizing the good, he's announcing the good, he's celebrating the good, that Hashem answered his prayers. His tfilos were that the Rav, that the hunger, the famine would be ended. And to the extent that those tfilos were answered, he is making that bracha, the bracha HaTova Meitiv. Now, Boaz, as we looked in the Targum before, is referred there as Boaz, Rachel Boaz. As a shofet, he's referred to as Ivtson. The Bach says in a sefer called Meshiv Nefesh that the schus of Boaz in the name Boaz was what enabled his tfilos to indeed be answered. But Boaz didn't want anyone to know it. The Medrash tells us that Naomi knew it. Why? A malach told her. But other than that, no one told. No one was told. And there's a Gemara that says that the Chassid de Eretz Yisrael snu him, v'lo modiin afil levnei beisam. They don't even tell their household members when a good thing happens on their account, such as Shabbat HaMotar L'Yisrael b'shvilam. When they prayed for rain, the tzaddik went out and prayed for rain, and their prayers were answered, the tefillos were answered, and it rained. He didn't even tell B'nai Besa. He didn't even tell the people in his own household that this had happened. So this is Boaz here. Boaz is satisfied. He's happy that his tefillos are answered, but no one else knows that that's the reason, other than again Naomi, who found out about it from Amalek. Okay, she comes to the place where he is. Vatavo valot, vatgal margalosov, vatishkov. That's the end of Pasuk Zion. Vatavo valot. She came quietly. No one knew. Rashi says, benachas. And she's able to go into the goren, where he is. He's sleeping there to guard his things. She uncovers his feet, as it were, and lies down someplace there. Why was Boaz there in the first place? Why was he sleeping there in the first place? We learned before that it was a generation full of thieves, people who stole crops from people who stole from the garden. So he was there as a guard. He's a great guard. Someone came in, he didn't hear it, gets close enough to him to lie down next to him and uncover his feet, and he doesn't move. What kind of guard is that?
An 80-year-old guard.
An 80-year-old guard. What kind of guard is that?
It's surprising also that an officer like Boaz did not have some of this
right.
Was there alone.
Okay, we're going to see later that he does have one person there, but apparently that person fell asleep or whatever, doesn't see what's going on here as well. So how could this be that this was, this happened like this? It says that the Ganovim were unable to steal, not just because another person, Boaz, was there, but Minoy Milignov Berias Boaz Bilvad. Ki toar pnei tzadik v'yoso me'oreres charoda v'yerushamayim. That the presence of the tzadik, even to see his face while he was asleep, made the place itself a holy place. And they would be unable to steal. Not because he would be aroused and take a stick and beat them, or he would see them and chase them off, or call for his assistance or what have you. The presence of the tzaddik elevated that place, made it a holy place, and they would not be able to do their thievery there. This, it said, explains to us why earlier Naomi, when she was giving the instructions to Rus, she said, "Vihi v'shachvo v'yodat es hamokem asher yivkoshvam." You will be able to find the place he is. How? Because he's a tzaddik. There's a certain glow there. There's a certain kedusha that surrounds him. That same kedusha that would keep the thieves from stealing from him, even if he was asleep, will be the kedusha that will act as your GPS. It'll tell you exactly where he is. Vayiba chatzia laila. Okay, so now it's the middle of the night. The chatzia laila is particularly ironic here, because in Tehillim, Kuf Yod Tes, David HaMelech writes, Chatzos laila akum lehodos. I will get up in the middle of the night. Of course, we know the many stories of David HaMelech learning in the middle of the night. But here was specifically, he would get up in the middle of the night to praise God in particular. The Yalkut says over there as follows. Kach Omar David. When he would get up in the middle of the night, he would say this. Chayev ani lakum lehodos lecha al masha asiso l'skeini v'zikinosi v'chatzi alayla. On all the kindnesses that you did for my grandmother and grandfather way back when, as is noted by the pasuk, v'yihi b'chatzi alayla v'yechrish v'yilafeis. She'ilu hischil la klola achas, klola achas, me'echon esiyoymed. If, when Rus, let's say startled, woke up Boaz, if he had, instead of accepting her and blessing her and beginning this whole process, and what exactly happened this evening is somewhat not clear in different deos, if that had happened in another way, if he had cursed her and chased her out, David says, Heichon ha'isi oimed, where would I be today? Right, that was the beginning of the whole story. So the Vayihi b'chatzi alayla is connected to those things. But something else happened, Vayihi b'chatzi alayla, and it's connected to what we said a couple weeks ago about the number of the workers, right? The number of the harvesters. We said there were 42 harvesters working for Boaz when Boaz was speaking to the foreman, corresponding to the 42 offerings in the story we just had in Balak and Bilam. And just as the things there turned from a klala to a bracha, so too it should happen here. Because it could be said that these actions of Rus, I mean, after all, here's a woman going down to the Gorim, a secluded place where Boaz is. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But you could say this wasn't exactly a Dovar Shebe Kedusha. And that Maaseh, that action of Rus, turned also Lebracha, turned to be a good thing. So even, it says, even if it was not Lishma, even if it wasn't totally Tishma, Lishma, Nasa Nakadosh Baruch Hu Libay, the Libay that is of Boaz, Dugmas Masha Hofach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Eskilas Bilam, Livrach Li Yisrael. So what happened here, he says, Hofach Es Totsaos Maaseha Miklola Livracha. It could have been a klola, it could have been a licentious thing, a bad thing. And instead, it was turned to a bracha. Umi Maaseha Yotza David HaMelech, who did what? He got up and increased in shiros v'sishbachos and limud haTorah when vayihi b'chatzi halayla, in the middle of the night. Okay, as is anyone, it's the middle of the night. She uncovers his feet. She lays down next to him. Whatever happens, somehow he wakes up. Finally, wakes up. Vayecharad ha'ish v'ilafes, and he trembles. What is vayecharad? It's a word. We see it in the case of Yitzchak when he found out about the bracha having been given to Esav, to Yaakov rather than Esav. Vayecharad am charadog v'ilafes, a big tremble, a big panic, a big fear. What's his fear in this case based on? Rashi says kisavra shedhu. Rashi says that Boaz thought that this was a shade, a spirit, a demon, evil. Ubikesh lizoik, and he wanted to cry out, and she grabbed him and made him quiet. So he was afraid. Then what happens? He, we're told, reaches out to see who it is, what it is, and he finds out by grabbing her head, v'hine isha. Nasa and yodo al rosha, Rashi says, v'hikir she isha. He realizes it's a woman, either from her hair, or the shape of her head, or the size of her head, or for whatever. He realizes that it's a woman. Ibn Ezra says, v'hine isha. He recognized her from a woman. The voice, she said, calm down, be quiet, whatever. So she knew right away, it must be a woman. So either the absence of a beard, and her clothes, and her feeling her head, he knew it's a woman. Now the aura of the Levana, the Ur Levana will become significant in a minute. But in any event, right now, he realizes she's a woman. He doesn't know who she is. Vayomer mi'at. And he says, who are you? Who are you? We know that Boaz and his Bezdin had made a takana, we just learned it a couple weeks ago, that when you greet somebody, they had a new ruling. They wanted to show that the world was a holier place. So how did you greet someone? Hashem imachem. Why didn't Boaz greet her that way? How come Boaz didn't do that? We know that that was his Boaz Tikein Lishol Sholom B'Shem. Why didn't he do that? Because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Osir lo la'odam shi'itein sholom l'chaveru ba'layla chayshinan shema shedhu. When you have a suspicion that the entity, I was going to say person, but that the entity that you were encountering is a ruach ra, a shade, a demon, what have you. You don't say Hashem Machem. Why? The Gemara says it's also do that. Why is it also do that? Because you don't want to bless and give the power of Hashem and holiness to this tumah here, to this shade, to this ruach ra, who could be, if you empower him, could do tremendous amounts of damage. So instead, he says mi'at. Now, what does mi'at mean? Who are you? Perhaps mi'at has, the Medrash says, perhaps it has a little bit more to it. Because we learn from the word where it says that he, vayecherod, that he began to tremble when he hears or he's woken or whatever happens. It says, vayecherod ha'ish vayilofes. What does vayilofes mean? Vayilofes is a couple words, a couple possibilities. One of them, that the presence of a woman with a man alone had an impact on him. He became interested in perhaps amorous activity. So he asked her, mi'at, he asked her a few questions. The Medrash says he said to her as follows, mi'at, comma, ruach o isha. Are you a demon? Are you my imagination? Are you an evil spirit? Or are you a woman? She says, Omra, isha, I'm a woman. So then he says, Penuya, Oasis Ish. Are you a married woman? Or are you available? I guess would be the way we would say today. What?
Single lady.
Yeah, right, available to me. Oh, so she says, I'm a Penuya. That's Penuya. Then he said to her, Tmeya At or Tahira. Are you a Nida? Are you ritually pure or ritually available or not? Amr Lai Tahira. And she says, I'm Tar. How, though, do we deal with the possibility that one of the issues in Nida, in this question, would be Dam Chimud? The question is that as a result of the amorous anticipation of their amorous excitement, that she might have become a Nida even since the time that she last checked when she was at home. So it suggested that perhaps she had a moch dochuk, kol hazman. It's a similar to an intruder device, a cloth placed in that area, so it's there, so she could always tell whether or not. So that's maybe an answer to that question, how she knew that. So now he knows that she's a woman, and she knows that, and he knows that would that he wants to pursue his idea, he could. We never quite know whether he does. I mean, we know that the Medrash, we'll see in a minute, says that he took a shvua and said that you certainly know I never touched her. Vayomer mi'at, vatomer anochi rus amosecho. Tells her, she says, you know who I am, I'm Rus, your servant. Ufarasto achrafecho ala moschi goel oto. Spread your garment over me because you are going to be my redeemer. What does that mean, ufarasto achrafecho? The Malbim tells us, melitzahi, nilkecha mina ofos. It's a melitza, sort of a allegory, a simile taken from the conduct of birds. Shepartzikvafeyam al bnei zugam beis hazivug. That when birds mate, I'm not sure exactly how the logistics of this are, but that one puts the wing over the other. So that's sort of a remez, that this, you know, this is a, if this is going to be a mating, it's pure, it's a mitzvah, it's proper.
But we have the same problem that you alluded to previously, that she is connecting the idea of, she's requesting that he marry her, which is in fact the same, And the Lulah of the Lulah Sasota is being the two are connected as if it's a package deal. The one comes with
double or nothing, right?
Which is a major difficulty.
Yes, it's still a major difficulty. The other possibility, before we get to Kigualata, we have another possibility of what is this spreading of the garment. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, also the Shamish learn there, you're not supposed to have marital relationships in the light. And the Ramon says over there, no, it's not the interim, sorry, the Shulchan says over there, even if you put your garment over, it's not even enough. The Mishnah Berurah writes that it's also usur not only to the light of a candle, but leor halivana. Now remember, the Ibn Ezra said, we mentioned a few minutes ago, that he was able to determine, Rashi said because he felt her head, another said, and Ibn Ezra said he knew it was a woman, because he saw her be'or halavana, the moonlight lit up the Gorin area, whatever. So he sees it's a woman. So even that would be unacceptable according to halacha there. Shehayor halavana rav b'laylahu v'rav b'ezrus begarilar. Others say that in a mitzvah, in the case of this particular case, the spreading of the garment would be enough tznius to allow them to be together, if in fact that's what happened. So hold that. And then, ki ge'olata, because you are the goel. Now once again, as Neil pointed out a minute ago, first of all, it's not yibum anyway. It can't be Tori yibum that we're talking about, because this is not the brother-in-law, her brother-in-law, it's not a brother of her husband. Rashi says, ki goel ato, ligol nachlas ishi, to get my husband's land back, k'moshen emor in the pasuk in ba goel akoy v'lov, the goel, we learned that before. V'chameis, and my mother-in-law, and chameis ha'ani, tzrichas limkor nachlas, sein v'yato lech liknois, k'nei gam osi imo. While you're at it, this ki goel ato is almost like with a question mark. Then you are good. Acquire me as well. Didn't have to. And please do so. Why? She yizkor shem ha-meis al nachlosai, so that my late husband's name will be reassociated with his property. Because she'ovo ha-sada yom ruzos eishes nachlon. So when I come out into the field, the people say, oh, that's the wife of Machlon. That's not a particularly pleasant invitation to Boaz. That's not a great condition for a shidduch. Let's get married. You'll get the property so that everybody will still call me Machlon's wife. Let's get another.
Still smacks of Yibum Lashon.
It certainly sounds like Yibum Lashon. Although there, but again, you know, as Rashi said, she's asking him that. She's asking that he do that. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. The Goel in the Vayikra there doesn't have to. She wants, and she's asking him to do that. So he has to respond. So he says, "Vayomer." He says to her, "Brucho at Lashem biti heitavt chazdecho achron min harishon." What is brucho at Lashem mean? It's said by Avram Avinu, "V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama." You will be blessed throughout the world, all over, in every place. You, Rus, have grafted in, right? You were brought in now, the bricha, you are agriculturally, it's an agricultural word, you're connected now to the Jewish people, and it's a good thing. Brucha at Lashem, b'ti heitavt chazdecha achram min ha'reishon. Your last kindness is even greater than your first. What is the last kindness? What is the most recent kindness? Her indication to him that she wants to perpetuate the name of her deceased husband, Machlon. The prior goodness, the prior chesed that she has done, that was acknowledged was her chesed in staying with the mother-in-law, staying with Naomi, coming all the way back and not leaving her alone. Rashi says, Mina Risham, Asher Asis im Chamoseich. But this chesed now that you've done with me, to ask me to, in essence, you asked me to marry you. You asked me to get married to perpetuate this shame of your late husband is even greater than the one you did with Naomi. And any chesed, it says any chesed she'osim amesim is a chesed shel emes. That's why the whole, all the arrangements around the burial are called chesed shel emes. Anything that you do with, it's connected to the mason, to the deceased, is a chesed shel emes, because you know that you cannot be paid back. Whereas a chesed you do with the chayim is. He says, levilti leches achrei abachar. You chose not to run after the young fellows, in Dali and Asher. Instead, you chose to be together with to want to be married with me. And I'm older, and why would you want to do that? Medrash there says that, I don't know if today's young ladies would feel the same way, that said it would be better to be with a poor younger man than a rich older man. We seem to hear a lot of these cases where they marry these rich older guys for a very long time. Anyways, you chose, you made that choice. You could have waited for a younger fellow, a nicer looking fellow, someone closer to your age. Instead, you choose me, I'm old. So that's the part of the chesed that he says. V'yata biti al tiri, don't worry. Everything that you want me to do, everything that you say will happen. You want me to redeem you, I'll do it. Don't worry about anything. Because she has some concerns. What is she afraid of? She says, first of all, what if it turns out there's another Goel? Which, obviously, we know that that's going to be his question, what's going to happen. V'yal tiri, the Malbim writes, don't be afraid. Pen kish es ya'etz l'machar yaman she'ir. When I take counsel tomorrow with the chevron in town, you know me, b'yabim osach, they'll say, what are you doing? They'll try to talk me out of it. V'yom ruli she'ein ze mechvedi l'sonarim o'avio. They'll say, it's not appropriate. A person like you, as Boaz, the leader, to marry a Isha Moavia, they won't necessarily know about the recent Psak Halacha. Don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about any of that, because I will do what I promised to do. And in the end, Ki Yodea Kol Sharami, everybody who sits at the gate, that's the place where the town square or something, where the leaders would sit, the pseudo Sanhedrin, the people would be there, they would sit together. And they know, ki eishes chayil ot. They know that you are truly an eishes chayil. What does it mean, eishes chayil ot? It says that anybody who marries an ishak shera, a proper woman, Kol hanosei ishak shera ki lukiyem kol ha'teira meirosh v'yatsoif. If you marry an ishak shera, you have fulfilled the whole Torah, everything from beginning to end. When we want to say that we want to reference everything, we say it's from aleph to tof, and that's at. Then that's at, right? So we know Eishes Chayil Ot. You are an Eishes. You just said Eishes Chayil Ot. You are someone that if one marries you, he will fit the bill of having completed Kol HaTorah Kula Ot from Aleph to Tov.
He asked before
Mia. Okay, so we'll stop there. Tomorrow we're going to look specifically at this question, because you know, Mefarshim are hinting all back and forth as to what really happened. And we'll look at the measures on that particular.